Message, M, 039, The Laying On of Hands. A word given by Cecil J. Duseal, 18th of April, 1971.
Praise the Lord. I want to speak just a little on the laying on of hands. And I want you to turn your Bibles with me. Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 21. We could read 20 and 21. And when he had made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat, and Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat. Putting them, now the them here does not refer to his hands, it referred to the sins.
Amen.
By laying on his hands upon the goat, he put the sins of Israel upon the goat, upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, a desert place. And he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. And Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation and shall put off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. Praise be to God. We see a scene here of God instituting something which was a basic law of our Christian understanding and privilege. Listen again, I'll say that over a little more slowly. We see here something that is a basic understanding of our Christian privilege, a law, basic law, the understanding of a law that God has instituted in types and shadows for us to understand what is this in Jesus. Something, this must mean something to us in our time in Jesus, isn't that right? Are you with me?
Yes.
If you were away, you just come back. Now, there is nothing written in the Bible, in the laws, in the Leviticus, in the Deuteronomy, in Numbers, in Genesis, anywhere, that it does not speak of something in Jesus Christ. And because of this thing in Jesus, we must find out what is the meaning of this, that Aaron, the people of Israel, come to Aaron and they confess their sins to him, and they bring two goats to him. One he slays, and he takes the blood and he daubs the blood upon the other goat, and instead of slaying the other goat, he takes all the sins of the people and he puts it upon this second goat and let him go in the wilderness. Praise be to God. Now, I'm not going to say anything more there. Let's go on. Numbers 8, 10. Numbers 8. 10 to 10. I see what's wrong here. Praise God. Numbers 8, And the law, well, let's read Numbers 8:10. And thou shalt bring the Levites before the Lord, and the children of Israel shall put their hands upon the Levites. I tell you something. Let's find out why they are doing this thing. Let's read from verse 5. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the Levites from among the children of Israel and cleanse them, and then shalt thou do unto them to cleanse them, sprinkle water of purifying upon them, and let them shave all their flesh, and let them wash their clothes, and so make themselves clean. Then let them take a young bullock with his meat offering, even for flour, fine flour mingled with oil, and another young bullock shalt thou take for a sin offering, and thou shalt bring the Levites before the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt gather the whole assembly of the children of Israel together, and thou shalt bring the Levites before the Lord, and the children of Israel shall put their hands upon the Levites, and Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord for an offering of the children of Israel, that they may execute the service of the Lord. Now, brethren, something is very peculiar here. First of all, we see the children of Israel confessing their sins to the Levites, the Levites receiving their confession, Aaron receiving their confession, then laying the sins by proxy or by the laying on of hands, the sins of the children of Israel, they confess them to me, and I take them and I lay them on top of that goat, and then I send the goat off. I don't kill him. I send him off into the wilderness by the hand of a fit man. Then, here comes again, I have another scene here. I take the Levites now, and the Levites are going to stand in the place of the goat now. And all Israel comes, and 3 million people lay their hands on the Levites. And one say, I'm a murderer. The other say, I'm a thief. The other say, I'm a liar. And I stole, did this, and I did that, and I did the other. And each man is confessing his own sin in his heart, and he's putting off his sin upon the Levites. Praise be to God. And then God said to Moses, offer the Levites before God. So the Levites had to be sanctified after that. Yeah. Upon the Levites, and Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord for an offering of the children of Israel, that they may execute the service of the Lord. And the Levites shall lay their hands upon the heads of the bullocks. Amen. And thou shalt offer the one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering unto the Lord, to make an atonement for the Levites. Praise God. You still with me? Yes. Amen. Now, let's not go any further considering that now. Let's go on to another scripture then. Numbers 27, 18 and 20. Praise God. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him. Hear that? Thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord, and his word shall they go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Here we see the man Moses taking off some of Moses and putting it on Joshua the son of Nun. His name always amuses me. Praise God. He is Joshua, and that's the Yahshua, meaning the Messiah, Jesus. And Nun means nothing. And his name is really Jesus, the son of nothing. Amen. And here it is, Moses is to take off some of Moses and put it on this man Joshua. And at the time, God did not reveal to the people that Joshua was going to take the place of Moses, but by the laying on of hands, he was going to impart some of his power and himself to a young man. Let's check over what we have read. We read of the sons of the Aaron and his sons laying their hands upon a lamb, Israel confessing their sins to him. And the moment a person confess their sins to you, do you know that you begin to bear part of it? Mm-hmm. Even in our carnal law, if a man kills a man out there and he comes and he tells you, brother or sister, you're in trouble. And if you notice that this is the same in God's law, Matthew 18 tells us that if your brother trespasses against you, you have to go and talk to him. Matthew 5 tells us that if you hear that your brother had aught against you, you have to go to him. Did you know that? Yeah. Brethren, sometimes it's better you didn't hear. Amen. You know, I've had a case already of a girl coming to tell me, and as she called the other sister's name, I said, hold on, she's over there, let's go. You know, because she was going to tell me something about the other sister, put me in trouble. One night, I was there, and lo and behold, somebody come and tell me that a preacher who was some 4 or 5 miles away, more than 5 miles away, said something about me, and I had to get up in the middle of the night, walk over to the preacher's house to tell him that I want to sleep, and that I heard that he said something about me, and I won't sleep good if I don't get it settled with him, so I am come to get it settled. Amen. But, well, that was my zeal. But I want you to know that this is what God wants you to do. You don't lie down and sleep on anything that disturbs God. because it will disturb your spirit, and you don't give me a vision or a dream after you have not been able to be free with your God. You know what God said about the perfection chapter, Matthew 5? It says, if you go to pray or to offer your sacrifice before God, and there you remember, you see, it wasn't on your mind, you didn't take it seriously, but there you remember that somebody has something against you. Say, don't worry with the prayer. Don't worry with the prayer. Go find your brother. Yeah. Be reconciled to your brother. Yeah. And then you come pray, says God. So you can see the relationship. Amen. Now these children of God communicate their sins to the priest, and the priest bear it. Immediately they communicate their sins to you, you become a party of their sins. You become guilty with them. Why? You've got to either get them out of it or deliver yourself. Amen. See, and so God is establishing certain laws of the laying on of hands, certain principles that we had better know in here, or else we don't go any further in God. We make a mess of God's business. Amen. I was sitting down minding my business one day in church, and lo and behold, a brother just got the Holy Ghost, and he felt so good, he ran across and slapped me on my head. Oh, he said, God say must pray for you. Bless God, I feel a pain strike me through here. Amen. And I just say, thank you, God, I can help him bear it. For he did have a very heavy burden there. And he needed deliverance, and I wouldn't go lay hands on him, so he came and lay hands on me. Uh-huh. Blessed be to God. You take your 110-volt current, go hitch it on to one of them power lines you see out there with 3,000 or 5,000 volts. And what do you think would happen? It would blast all your electricity inside your house. It would tear up those wires. It would burn them. It would fry them. And if you don't mind sharp, it would light your house on fire. Amen. Why? No matter what you intended, you might have intended the current to go that way, but it's going the any way that has the least resistance. That's the way the current is going. And so the laying on of hands is part of the laws of dynamics. Just that if one force is coming this way, amen, it's going to hit. Velocity plus mass is equal to force. I'm coming along and I weigh 200 pounds and I slam into this thing here. Bless God Almighty. I will move it according to the speed I'm going. Down in Florida, they had a storm there and a straw was driven straight through a tree. A straw, a common, ordinary, natural straw, was driven through a tree, right through the tree. Straw was left there, used like a bullet. Why? Because of the speed that it was going, the velocity punched it right through that tree. I want you to know, brethren, that the laying on of hands is only according to the laws of God. If you come here and lay hands on somebody, you had better be sent of God. Because if you don't have anything to impart, you are going to draw the life out of that person.
Yes.
And if that person has too much debt for you, it's going to move into you.
Yeah.
I'm sure you don't get me. Let's go on reading first. Read a little more. Deuteronomy chapter 34. Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 9. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. Isn't that peculiar? Why was Joshua filled with the spirit of wisdom? Because Moses had laid his hand upon him. Isn't that peculiar? Moses had therefore imparted the spirit of wisdom to Joshua by the laying on of hands. We see here in Numbers another instance. Now the Levites went and made the children of Israel lay their hands upon the Levites. In this case, brethren, what happened? The power of the sin of Israel was greater than the power of the Levites. Therefore, when God instituted that law, God meant that the children of Israel should put death upon the Levites. The Levites had no power to push back the debt and replace it with life. Therefore, when the children of Israel laid their hands on the Levites, the power of their sins went into the Levites. Brother, the Levites had to find a goat quickly. Yeah? To kill so that power would go off into that goat. Therefore, the goat, whatever the goat represented, was really the burden bearer. Mm-hmm. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So I'll bring you to a point there. Deuteronomy 34:9, 1 Timothy 4:14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. So we find down in the New Testament, Paul and his elders were still doing the same thing that Moses did to Joshua. The gift that neglect not, the gift that is in thee by the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. You know, I have seen something happen, and I think it is of note. It did something to me and my understanding. One day, somebody took a young lady down to one of the body meetings. The very first time that young lady went into the body meeting, and Sam did not know her at all. But he must have received a communication from God. He walked down from his the pulpit, and he came right down the crowd, lay hands on her, and prophesied that she would be a prophet in the body, or that she would have the gift of prophecy. I think I'd better put it that way. And he went about his business. Now this young lady was very much entangled in sin, very much away from being a prophet. Amen. Very much far away from being a prophet, entangled in sin and so on. But he lay hands on her and went about his business. And I had to do with her for the past 4 years. And what do you know? She's, in spite of the sin, in spite of her condition, she began to have dreams and visions and begin to move, and the dreams and visions keep pushing her and pushing her and pushing her, and up to now she's not where she ought to be, but she's still sending the dreams and visions to me, no matter what part I travel, or to other people asking for the meaning, and they are drawing her closer and closer to God. And even this, she had dreams and visions. She was to be married. She got a dream she shouldn't marry that man at all. God seemed to have worked through this means and channeled her in until she married the right fellow. And the fellow got saved a few days before the wedding or something like that, or a few weeks before the wedding. But God is just moving through the dream and vision by the laying hand of the hands of the presbytery. Amen. Praise be to God. So right here we can see it's not an Old Testament thing. It is something that is working even in our midst, and we better realize that it's working both ways, yes. Both backwards and forward. I have seen people come here and lay hands on people they had no right to do it.
Yeah.
You have got to have spiritual authority to lay hands. If you sit down there and God Almighty tell you to lay your hands, you get up and do it. You do it. But make sure it's God, and if it's not God, we're going to find out.
Uh-huh.
And you might suffer for it too. I had a boy, a young man in my church. He was one of the fine young men who we look forward to be a minister one day and all like that. And we went out visiting, you know, and we told him, he knew the doctrine because this used to be preached in our church, and everybody knows, never you go and lay hands on a person you don't know unless God Almighty tell you to do it, because there can be debt in the pot.
Yeah.
And so we went out, but he had something inside here. You know what he had? Well, if you can lay hands, why can't I?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, no, you people are not better than I am, and various ways he felt in here. And therefore, he would dare us by going forward and laying hands on people. So we were visiting, and he ran ahead and ran into the house of this sick woman. Remember, you don't know what make her sick. It could be 1,000 demons, brethren, that made her sick. So he ran into the house. And when you lay your hands on a person, you're actually offering yourself for that person. If a person is sick and you go and deliberately lay hands with that intention, you impart it from your soul to the person that I am giving myself, my body for yours. I'm using myself as a conductor. Amen. Hallelujah. And so this boy went and he lay hands on the person. And immediately there was a pain striking him in this left arm. And his hand dropped. And he couldn't raise his hand. And he got frightened, which made it worse. The demons just took charge of him completely. And when we reached there, we saw this condition. We prayed for him. And let me tell you, 5 years after that, he was not better. In other words, his hand did move. But whatever happened to him that day, he began to develop what they call epileptic fits. And we know it was demon possession, and it began to affect him so that the more we prayed for him, nothing happened. And the last time I saw him, he was getting worse and worse and worse. I'm not saying that to frighten you, but to just tell you the truth. Laying on of hands, this is the reason God said, call the presbytery, the elders, the those who are trained in the spirit, and those who are the elders of your group. You know what elders mean? Those who are spiritually older than you. Not that they are 10 years in the Lord or 12 years in the Lord. Those who are spiritually older, who have grown up in the spirit. Amen. That's what elder really means. Who have grown up in the spirit to be older than you in the spirit. It can happen in a month. In 1 month, you can be the oldest person in this group in the spirit. But according to how you absorb the Spirit of God, and according to how you absorb that which goes forth, according to the energy within you to grasp and to appropriate the Spirit of God. So then, amen, you can be the oldest person in this place in 3 months if you can absorb God to that degree. Amen. I figure that in the last days, God is bringing up some very quick children.
Yeah.
I have seen quicker children in the spirit here than I have seen in all my years.
Amen.
People just come to God and they pick up so fast on God, and they begin to feed on the very riches, the strong food,
yeah.
Meat.
Yeah.
Babies eating meat after 2 weeks. Eating heavy meat that some people 20 years couldn't touch.
Amen.
Believe you me, they got stomachs of iron. Praise God, they are just chewing up the heavy food and assimilating it to at that. And this is great. This is what God has promised. In the last days, God is going to ordain strength from the mouths of babes and sucklings. Not only the babes in years, but the babes in spiritual things.
Yeah.
Are going to eat meat. The moment you open, so praise be to God, let's go to 2 Timothy 1 and 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Praise God. He is impressing every time he writes to Timothy. He said, remember that I had put hands on you. Amen. Remember the gift that you had received by the putting on of hands.
Yeah.
So let's go over and appropriate what we have learned today. We have learned that by the laying on of hands, we impart that which is within us to the other person, if that which is within us is stronger than that which is within the other person.
Yes.
For the moment you pull the valve, amen, the moment you open the valve, you're laying on hands. If that which is within the other person is stronger than that which is within you, then that which is within the other person is going to overcome that which is within you and hurt you. So if it is a sickness that the person has, and you go and you lay hands on the person without authority from God, you are going to be get what the other person has.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So if while we are praying here for somebody, you walk right up and lay hands on the person, and you have the same spirit that the person have, you will be feeding the demon while we're trying to cast it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've had such a case wherein we were trying to cast out a spirit, there was somebody there who had the same spirit, and every time the spirit was hit, they run to the other person, and the other person just comfort the person like it. You see, while we are praying for the person just hugged the person. You know, and you could see there was no hope. We'd have to turn on that person and cast out the demon, and I'm telling you, that demon wouldn't come out, because that other person was very strong in what he believed, and he wasn't going to accept that at all. So therefore, it was going to be an impossible case, so I call off the fight. Amen. Brethren, I want you to ask me questions this afternoon, as soon as I'm through here in a few minutes. But I want you to get the story right. The power of God in the church is vested in the body to deliver the people of God and those whom we want to deliver. But you must be careful that God Almighty appointed you to do the deliverance before you try to do it.
Yes.
Amen. Contact between wife and husband, touching him, holding him, contact with a special desire within your heart to deliver him, will deliver him without your saying one word from him. Amen. You don't have to go around shouting at people to deliver them from spirits. For you are a spirit, and the other spirits can see you and they can hear you as loud as anything when you're shouting. I mean without voice. Amen. And many a woman talk too hard, too long, too much in trying to win the man, and the man would be won if she had prayed more and talked less. Amen. For this is a battle all through and through. But if you know that God has appointed you to this. Now I can tell you, every woman that God anoints who has an unanointed husband is appointed unto this work. They don't say amen, but I believe they believe. Amen. Every woman, and this is what God does for us, that he catches the one he can catch easiest. And generally, the woman is easier to catch than the man. And so God generally gets a hold on to a woman, amen, and begin to use her and fill her with his power in order that she might deliver not only her man, but her whole household.
Yeah.
Praise be to God. And if you fail in this way, you fail. Because this is the reason why God anointed you any at all. Some women run, leave their homes, gone as missionary, and leave the home unsaved. Amen. The first duty you have is to go to battle at home. The laying on of hands is one thing that you have, just a touch, a caress, I love you. It's saying something else. Amen. You shall be set free. Amen. You don't have to go about and say, get out, you devil. Amen. You'll be driving a man away. Amen. Praise God. You just have the power to communicate life.
Yeah.
By that which God has communicated to you. And those Levites allowing the whole Israel to lay their hands on them was an imparting of sin, a receiving of sin. And that goat sent out into the wilderness to die, it looks to me just like a certain set of people that I know who are at this moment becoming the army of God, who will go out into that wilderness, amen, and will face that enemy and will remove by so doing the sins of the people of God from them, will deliver them, amen, by their effort. In other words, not them, but the Christ in them. The 144,000 are the army of God, is just the people that God is training to go out in the wilderness like the second goat. The first goat died. The first goat died, but his blood daubed the second goat. Mm-hmm. Amen. Praise be to God. I wish you were with me. Amen. First goat died. Amen. The sins of the people were put on him. He died, and the blood was taken and daubed upon the second goat. And the second goat was not slain immediately, but he was sent out in the wilderness with the sins of the Levites. In other words, the Levites took the sins of the people, and they put their sins and the people's sins upon this second goat. Praise God. And this second goat removed their sins away from them. And isn't this group to go out and to give forth their lives for the church, for the body of Christ?
Amen.
Amen. So this is what God is saying by this laying on of hands. All Israel is going to lay their hands on you. Amen. And pass on all their iniquities, because the Lord shows that the power that will emanate from the Moses group, yes, from this Elijah group, is going to break the power of sin in the earth,
yes,
once and for all. Blessed be to God Almighty. And he's going to set creation free.
Yes.
Hallelujah. By going out in the wilderness, in a desert place. Praise God. And so we come down to what does it mean in our time and in our operation in this church, in this body, stop laying your hands suddenly upon people. The Bible says, lay not your hands suddenly upon any man. Say, if any man sick, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them lay hands anointed with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So praise be to God. It seems to me that when they did lay hands, they did pull out that sickness and put in life. That's what happened. And then they had to have an offering for themselves there, or else that sickness would overcome them. But they took the sickness and destroyed it, because of what they had received from God. Praise God. So therefore, the laying on of hand is a delicate operation. Praise God. Now, there is a laying on of hands that is done metaphorically speaking, I mean, not actually, but I could just attack you suddenly and start to talk to you over something, and it would be in the spiritual sense laying hands on you suddenly. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. I have seen many wrong things happen in the body sometimes, And sometimes I feel that we need to talk about some of them, because we need to learn. If the Spirit of God speaks, we learn. Two things I see I could lay hands on you for now, which I feel like doing that, and close and take my seat, is that sometimes we speak without getting the anointing to speak. Now, what do I mean? I mean that many of you sitting down here in these benches, when the church is moving in the Spirit, you receive a lot of things. Some of you don't talk those things that you receive, and some of you talk the things that you receive. When I say things, I mean words that could be prophecy. Bam, a word comes to you. Whenever you get something coming to you in the meeting, wait. There is a special time for you to bring forth a word of anointing. Amen. And there's a time you must not bring it forth. You will get it before you are to bring it forth. And you wait. And if you don't get that stir, no anointing, don't bring it. You don't believe that I couldn't prophesy for 2 hours. Don't believe it. I could. If I just turn my thoughts to God and to Calvary now, I get the flowing and a pouring through, and I can keep going and keep moving, because specifically I have that as a gift, that the Spirit of God will keep telling me things to say, and I will keep saying, and I could keep on, and the Spirit of God would never be tired until I am tired. But do I do that? Now, would it be wise to burden you with that? I don't want to bring a mediocre prophecy. I don't want to bring an unanointed word. I don't want to bring a prophecy that is not just dead on. I want to hit the bullseye every time. And I am not saying I because I am I, but I am trying to say you by saying I.
Amen.
Amen. You don't want to do it either. And I'm going to tell you a secret that you know. You feel ashamed when you bring off a prophecy that you, deep down in your heart, you know it wasn't directly an anointing.
Yeah.
There is a little shame inside there. Amen. And sometimes you might even go and ask somebody, how did you feel about the word that I brought? Amen. Amen. You feel a little strange. You know why you feel strange? Because the Holy Ghost is here and he's anointing the service. And the time that we come together is a limited time, and it belongs to God. And nobody has any right to usurp the time to bring forth something that you want to bring forth.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen.
There are soulish prophecies. Because I've been hurt and beat down, maybe at home or in my workplace, I want a release. And when I come in the church of God, I let go.
Yeah.
Amen. And I monopolize God's time. Believe you me, this is consecrated time. This is precious time. When you come together, come in fear and trembling, say, Lord God, what do you want now?
Yeah.
Amen. Praise be to God. And if God moves you, move, brother. If you feel that move, that urge, go ahead. Amen. You with me?
Yeah.
Amen. But when you get a word, and the word is not anointed, don't give it. You must feel an anointing to give the word. Praise God. You know, I sit down here this evening, And I felt that two words should come forth before I say anything. And I was just wasn't about to say anything tonight if those two people didn't just get up and give what the Lord. But before I could call out, Rusty got up and she gave her what. I knew something else was there. Amen. I knew that a song should be sung. I just didn't know what it was. And I felt I would just come up here and call Mavis to sing or to say something. But this is the kind of way you move in God. You must move, and you know the anointing, and the anointing has nothing to do with yourself. I must do this, I must do that, I must do that, I must do that. Do you know that in the Corinthian church, Paul had to make certain rules? He said, let us not have more than three prophecy in any one service. Did you know that? That he had to limit. He said, how is it every one of you have a psalm, have a prayer, have a song? He said, come on now. Let everything be done decently and in order. Amen. Let's not have more than three prophecies. They would have spent all day prophesying upon generalities.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen. You with me now?
Amen.
I want to tell you what I'm saying. Oh, blessed be the people of the Lord. Oh, you're a mighty army, you're wonderful, you're lovely, you're nice. Oh, you just keep pressing on in God, said the Lord God. And I could go on like that. It's just generalities.
Yeah.
Nothing specific. Nothing to stir you, nothing to break the ice, nothing to make you shout. Nothing to hit you. What did God say about prophecy? He said, when ye all prophesying, and one comes in there who is an unbeliever, you speak out that which is in his heart, and he is convinced that God is in all.
Yeah.
Therefore, prophecy must have in it something that stirs the person to convince him that God is in the midst of us. Amen. Sometimes 3, 4, 5 of us come in here, we get a word. Now you listen to this one. You 5 people all over the building get a word, and they got no anointing to speak it. But one got an anointing, and the person jumped up and begins to speak it, and man, you say, amen. Why? Because you had the same word, you knew the prophecy before it came forth, and you testified to it, surely that is God.
Yeah.
Like I had the vision of this army, and they were searching for their flags, and here our sister gets up and she begins to speak about the army. It pricks me, it makes me feel, well, bless God, my sister is online.
Mm-hmm.
I feel good.
Amen.
Amen. And so you sitting down there in the audience, you also must have a witness of the Spirit of God, that we are talking from God. You must have that witness. Now, I'm laying hands very heavily now. Some people talk in tongues because God is giving them a prophecy and they are afraid to talk in English, and they come off in tongues. Amen. Now this is an evil called unbelief. Lack of faith. When God begins to move you, if it's one cry, you get cried out. If it's one word, you get worded out. By the time you get it out, God will get the honor of you. If it's not your word, you have no problem. If God gives you one word, don't put another one there. You know, suppose God should pick up one of you and you say, arise. And that's the prophecy. And you're finished. Amen. Amen. What a prophecy that would be. Direct to the point.
Amen.
Yeah. Don't add on. Don't. I mean, I hope you will just get into it and this won't cause you to stop. Praise God. Amen. Because if you make a mistake, you go repent. It's nice. It's real good to repent when you're wrong. But some of you sit down there and God move you and you won't move. And some of those who move, they have no right to move. Amen. Sometimes the tongues come forth and somebody interpret it. And they had that word on their minds before. And when the tongues came forth, they used that opportunity to give forth the word. So that wasn't an interpretation of that tongue at all.
Yeah.
That thing might have fitted into some other part of the service, but it didn't fit right there.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And somebody who had the interpretation of the tongue sit by and said, well, these people don't know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You know, I've seen that done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I saw a person sitting in the congregation, got the direct word, verbatim, word for word, that the person was talking in tongues. That word would have been a confirmation to the person. Sometimes you're talking tongues and you're not sure, right? And if somebody got a direct word from God, say you were saying so and so and so, and I saw it written in letters of gold, amen, wouldn't that boost you up? You'd feel that, praise God, I was all right. Amen. So God says it's for edification and for comfort, and so the word of God would have blessed you. But instead of that, somebody jumped up. You know, somebody feel no vacuum must be in this meeting while I'm here. No vacuum. Therefore, they're silent too long. I better translate. Oh, thus saith the Lord God. So, I know some people like that. Brethren, I tell you, we have some people like that, and it's very annoying to be in a service with them. They won't give God a chance. They won't give God a chance. They don't believe God at all. They believe me. And while I'm here, brother, I'm not going to allow any vacuum. Therefore, it's a vacuum there, and I better jump into it. I'm here, God's man. And that spirit is need to be cast out. You know, praise God Almighty, you know. Yeah, somebody should just get up and say, loose him, Satan.
Yeah.
While he's there, getting into God's business. Let's wait on God quietly. And God stir one, let him go. God stir you not, your business.
Yeah.
If God doesn't stir you, it's not your business. Oh my goodness, I want to encourage Kit, and she just gave up prophecy in tongues. Let me interpret it. Encourage her. Isn't that the way carnal people think? We better stop it.
Yes.
We want God. We don't want anything else but
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Let God have his way.
Amen.
Yes.
We are climbing Jacob's ladder.
Yeah.
Children saying, climbing. Yeah. Jacob's ladder between heaven and earth.
Yeah.
We're climbing Jacob's ladder. Soldiers of the cross.
Amen.
Amen. So, brethren, as I am laying on of hands on you, teaching you what laying on of hands means, I know you're feeling the pressure of it. I hope I'm imparting life to you.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. There's one more, and I don't know what it is, so let me go on talking. See if I can hit it before I take my seat. One more. Praise be to God. Amen. I think God wants us to know when we are in the Spirit and know when we are not in the Spirit.
Yes.
And trust God. Just trust Him. Leave Him with the meeting. If we come here and just sit down and get up and say goodbye, everybody, it's okay.
Yes.
We have no problem. Just relax and let God have His way.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. And if you're talking in tongues and the anointing leave you, stop.
Amen.
For God's sake, stop. If you're talking in tongues and the anointing leave you, stop. That's where God wants you to stop. If you are giving a word in prophecy and the anointing leaves, stop. Stop right there. That's where God wants you to stop. Amen. Now, one more point here. I'm close. If you sit down there and you get a word from God and you didn't get an anointing to speak the word, thus saith the Lord God, so and so, don't put on a sing-song voice and get up, because they teach that in college, right? That you must say and you must put on a voice and said, oh brethren, oh brethren, I want you to know that I, you see, that kind of thing makes God sick.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Don't put on a voice and say, oh, thus saith the Lord, and put on any voice and put on any sing song. You have no anointing to give it, hold your word.
Yeah.
When there's a space in the meeting, say, you know, brethren, the Lord was saying to me, put on your holy garment. I didn't get anything else, but just put on your holy garments. My God, what a blessing that would be. Somebody there wanted that word. They didn't want a sing-song prophecy. They might have missed it. They want you to sit down, get up in cold blood and slap them with a word. don't for create a scene before you give. Amen.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God. I wonder if you get that point. You get that one? Listen, I'm speaking to the sons of God. All of us
right.
go through the same thing.
Yeah.
It's not you alone. It's not a matter that I'm throwing something at you. I know I sit down sometimes and say, now God, what must I do? Must I get up and sing it out? Or must I just get up and talk it raw, you know? And so I finally don't give it at all, because the brethren where I am wouldn't understand my getting up and said, well, the Lord says so and so. Or since I have the privilege to preach, I might wait my turn and get up and give it off in a preaching. You understand what I'm talking about? But this is the blessing of the body of Christ. God speaks little words to little people all around the body. We want them. When the meeting is open, when there's a little slack, before the minister comes to give the word or whatever the time is, just say, may I. Amen. And give your word. And bless God's people. Hold not back, but don't put on anything. For this is not good before God. Lay out of hands, beware. Unless you are specially endowed by the Spirit to lay hands on a person, leave them alone. Let those who are endowed and sent by the Spirit to lay hands on them, put their hands on them. Blessed be to God. God bless you in Jesus' name.
This is the end of message, M. 039. The Laying On of Hands.